Cheese fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for an upcoming game against the Minnesota Vikings. But before that, we'll take one last look at that awesome 53-20 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. We will do that right now.
Expert interview
with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Brian. How about you?
Very good, as always. Thanks for joining us. This past Sunday, Nathan, was week two of Clay Matthews at inside linebacker. How did he look in his second stint on the inside?
His second game wasn't quite as good as his first game went. As a pass rusher, he had a decent game. He had a batted pass, a sack, although it came unblocked, and then a hit as well. So he was decent as a pass rusher. The problem is, in the run game, he just had one tackle for a short gain compared to a couple plays where the left side of the Eagles' offensive line was able to successfully block Matthews, including a nice block on him on a screen play. So his play against the run wasn't quite as good, and then his play in coverage also wasn't quite as good. He allowed all three passes thrown his way to be caught for a total of 35 yards, so in general, not quite as many big plays as he had in the last game, as well as a few more poorer plays. So overall, it was an okay performance, but not as spectacular as it was the week before.
Now, one of the reasons the Packers made the move to Matthews on the inside was because they have more trust in Nick Perry at outside linebacker. That, at least that's the way I feel. I don't know if anybody's actually come out and said that. But I noticed in each of the past 2 weeks, Perry has graded out particularly poorly. What's been the problem with Nick Perry?
Sure. One of the problems is Perry has always been good as a pass rusher, not quite as good against the run. And with his increased playing time, he's playing even more against the run. So he's been graded a little worse in the run because teams have been able to expose him a little bit there. In terms of as a pass rusher, he's been getting a similar amount of pressure, but it's less impressive getting that amount of pressure on a higher sample size of pass rushes. While this doesn't excuse his poor performance against the Bears, against this past game, he was constantly going up against Jason Peters, who's been our second highest rated offensive tackle this year, has been consistently in the top five when healthy recently, so he's been going up against a really good opponent this week, or this past week. This upcoming week, he's going up against Matt Khalil a lot, and he had one of his better performances of the year when they faced the Vikings last time with two sacks, one hit, and one hurry. So I'd be curious to see how Perry does this week before I reconsider how much playing time he's getting.
Well, I hope he has a big game. It seems like both of the Packers' free agent signings this offseason had big weeks against the Eagles in Week 11 between Julius Peppers and LaTroy Guyon. How did they fare this past game?
Yeah, they both came up with a couple of really big plays. Peppers with his pick six, of course, and then there was a play in the run game that he did very well, ended up tackling the back for a short game. Peppers also had four pressures, although all of them came a little later on the play, so they didn't grade out as well as some of other pass rushes typically do when they have a very quick backdoor pressure. There were a couple of times in the game where Brent Salek, who's one of the better run-blocking tight ends in the league, did a nice job blocking Peppers. So while Peppers did have a couple of big plays, it wasn't all good for him. As for LaTroy, he was similar in that he had that one amazing sack, that highlight play, but then outside of that, it was a mix of good and bad throughout the game. As a pass rusher, that was his only pressure, and in the run game, it was a mix of good and bad, going back and forth with some of the Eagles' offensive linemen all game. He also had the one penalty in there, but LaTroy in general, he was someone who had a bad September, and then since then has been a pleasant surprise for the past month and a half.
You have to wonder if that had to do with his hamstring injury that kept him out almost the entirety of training camp. But if there's one area, Nathan, that I think the Packers could have improved this past Sunday, and I'm nitpicking here in a 53-20 victory, but I thought it was at safety with rough games from both Morgan Burnett and HaHa Clinton Dix, seemed to have several missed tackles. Would you agree?
With HaHa Clinton Dix, he did have a couple missed tackles, two of them on defense, one of them on special teams. So whenever you have a lot of missed tackles, you can't have that great of a game. With that considered, he did have a couple of good plays in there as well. He just allowed one catch, which has been pretty typical of him. And then he had three stops in the game. So he was able to make a couple plays to go along with the plays that he was missing. As for Morgan Burnett, on the other hand, he allowed four catches. Two of them went for first downs. Another one went for a touchdown. So that it wasn't the best game out of either player, but considering how things were last year, the safety play this year has been a bit better than last year still. So while it is nitpicky, it's still headed in the right direction at least.
That's definitely better than a year ago, most definitely. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, over on the other side of the football, Randall Cobb had career highs in both receptions and yards against the Eagles, but how did he grade out?
It was also his highest graded game of the year. It was definitely a really interesting game out of Cobb in that so many of his catches went for first downs. I think it was on 9 of his catches. Typically, when you see something like a 100-yard game out of a receiver, you'll see them make one big play and then a couple of small plays. But Cobb, it was just a consistent, decent catch after decent catch. No really big plays or highlight-worthy plays or touchdowns like he was so used to getting. But Cobb just consistently graded with a pretty good catch after a pretty good catch, and those all add up. So overall, he had a really good game with the 9 first downs, which you don't see all that often out of wide receivers.
Well, that's a good sign that he's just showing very good consistency, I would say. There's been a lot of praise for the Packers' offensive line of late, but if we had to single out one player on the line, who did the best job?
In general, when you would ask that question, I would say Josh Sitton over these past few years has been excellent. But going back to this last game, I think Brian Bulaga deserves the most credit. He allowed just one hurry in the game, which was a very solid game in pass protection. And then in terms of run blocking, typically you see offensive tackles have more bad plays than good when it comes to run blocking. But in this game, he was even. He had just as many good as bad, so that's a good game out of an offensive tackle. So he's also someone that had a little bit of an okay start to the season, but recently he's graded out very well in 3 of his last 4 games. So Brian Bulaga is someone who's been getting better as the season's gone on.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned Josh Sitton being, you know, kind of consistently the best offensive lineman. Again, another injury issue there. I think his torn ligaments in his toe could have something to do with him maybe perhaps not playing up to the same standard, although he didn't play, you know, poorly by any means. Eddie Lacy in the running game, he only has one game of over 100 yards rushing this year. How does what Eddie Lacy is doing this year compare to last, where he's not getting quite as many yards this year?
This year is definitely different than last year. But if you take out those first couple weeks where he was playing especially poorly, from week 5 on, he's been averaging 5.1 yards per carry. So he's been very effective while running the ball. He just hasn't been getting the same amount of carries. Last year, he was getting pretty consistently over 20 carries per game, where this year he has just one game with over 14 carries. So I think part of that is just Aaron Rodgers has been more effective recently. So the Packers, it's been making sense to have them throw the ball more. And then by the time it gets close to garbage time, where the Packers would typically run to run out the clock, they've been already putting their backups in, so Lacy hasn't been getting those carries. While he hasn't been getting the opportunities in the run game, he's been doing a lot more in the pass game this year than he was last year. Since week 8, so after these last couple games, he's had 236 receiving yards, over that time span where only one other running back in the league has more than 150 yards per route run is also something that I like to look at when looking at receivers. And he's at 1.71, which is top 10 in the league for running backs. Also worth noting, he hasn't allowed a single pressure when he stayed into pass blocks. So while the numbers aren't there in the run game, he's still performing as like one of the top few backs in the league over this past month and a half.
I do like that statistic you mentioned about averaging 5.1 yards per carry since week five. That is pretty good. Once again, Nathan, the Aaron Rodgers having another fantastic game against the Eagles. You know, I think there's a lot of attention now on how does he stack up for the NFL's MVP award? Can players like Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, even J.J. Watt give him any competition for this award?
If the season ended right now, I don't think Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck would give him much competition. Rodgers has been playing a bit better than both of those players so far this year. Looking at Rodgers, he hasn't had a single negatively graded game, which is really impressive out of any player, where Manning, he's had a negative grade in each of his last three games. Luck also with three throughout the season. And looking at some of the other numbers, Rodgers has just performed better this year. So I would say Rodgers deserves the MVP, at least for being the best quarterback. If I had to argue anyone against Rodgers, it would be J.J. Watt, just because the distance between Watt and the next best defensive player is so much larger than the difference between Rodgers and the other quarterbacks in the league, which I understand the argument that quarterbacks are more important to a team than a defensive lineman is and impact winning more, but Watts has been playing out of this world, so if any defensive player deserves it, it would be Watt. But even assuming if Rodgers comes back down to earth a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins it this year. And if he stays at the level that he's been playing at these past few weeks, then I think he'll win it in a landslide.
Yeah, interesting how the stock on Aaron Rodgers is going up while Peyton Manning seems to be going down, at least as of late. Still a lot of time to go. Nathan, can you give us a scouting report on the Vikings and how they might have changed from their first meeting with the Packers this season?
Sure. First off, on offense, they have Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback, who's been a little bit of an improvement to Christian Ponder. Not a huge upgrade, but a step in the right direction for them. Also, Jerick McKinnon is getting more playing time at running back, and he's been doing a decent job running the ball. So the Vikings also have a few good run blockers on the team, so while the Packers are on defense, stopping the run will be the big key to success in this game. The Vikings defense is a bit more impressive than the Vikings offense is. These past 4 weeks, their defensive end, Everson Griffin, has been playing at an all-pro level. He always lines up at the defensive right end spot, so the Packers will have to keep an eye on him throughout the game. Anthony Barr, he hasn't been quite playing as a defensive rookie of the year, or at least consideration for it, but he's still been playing well, so that's another defensive player that the Packers will need to worry about. And then also their safety, Harrison Smith, another player who deserves consideration for all-pro teams. So the Vikings definitely have a few good players that they've been building around, but I don't think it'll be quite enough for them to be too competitive this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, the way the Packers are playing, it's hard to believe they're going to lose to a team like the Vikings right now. But Nathan, we'll break it all down with you next week. As always, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday on the show to talk about the unique grading that they do at Pro Football Focus. Go check it out at their website. I think it's a unique service that football fans can get. But on to other things in the world of the Green Bay Packers.
Packers news of the day.
Yesterday, we learned that Vikings running back Adrian Peterson would be suspended for the remainder of the 2014 regular season. Of course, that counts the Vikings' upcoming game with the Packers this Sunday, albeit Peterson has the right to appeal this ruling, and the NFL Players Union has already said they would. So there is perhaps going to be an expedited hearing here on Adrian Peterson. That being said, I don't think anything's going to get solved quick enough for Peterson, even if he were to win the appeal. And I'm not sure he will. But even if he wins an appeal, I don't think there's time for him to get ready and play against the Packers and be prepared in a week's amount of work after missing more than half the season so far. No, it's just not going to happen. I don't. 99.9%. I suppose I could leave open the 0.01% chance that he could play and maybe even perhaps be active. But I mean, even if he were to play, can you imagine them going heavily to him? Especially when we just talked to Nathan Jahnke about rookie Jerick McKinnon and how well he's been doing this season. Vikings really found a nice rookie running back there, something they can build around, in the future. Because, like I said, I don't think Adrian Peterson's coming back, and they're going to be looking for somebody for the long term there. But yeah, I mean, just interesting that up to this point, Adrian Peterson has been on the commissioner's exempt list, which actually has paid him his regular salary all the way up through this point for half a season. And Adrian Peterson is not some fringe bench player. He's one of the highest paid players in the NFL at the running back position. He's been making a lot of money. And of course, I mean, I haven't even gone into the whole reason here, indicted on charges of child abuse. That's what Adrian Peterson is, this whole thing is all about. I know this is a Packers show, but seeing as it's the week the Packers play the Vikings, it was rather notable this week, and it's what a lot of the NFL world is talking about right now. So we kind of continue to monitor and find out what's going to happen, the next step in this appeal process here. But don't expect Adrian Peterson to be playing on Sunday against the Packers. But it is interesting, though, I think, that the Packers will be playing the Vikings for the first time in a long time in an outdoor game in Minnesota. Of course, this is the first year post-Humphrey Dome, the Hubert H. Humphrey Dome Humphrey Metrodome, pardon me. In Minnesota, but that the Vikings actually had played outdoor games at TCF Bank Stadium the year the dome collapsed, as you remember, that happened, where they ended up getting a snowstorm and the dome actually collapsed, and they had to play a few games outdoors before. But this is the first time they've been there an entire season. And so the Packers playing them in an outdoor environment, I don't think a whole lot's going to change. Playing outside in Minnesota is definitely a harsh environment, but it's not as if the Packers aren't used to harsh environments. You know, they just played two consecutive games at Lambeau Field in below freezing conditions. And by no means am I trying to compare the past 2 weeks to the Ice Bowl. But any time you're outside for an extended amount of time and temperatures below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, that's not pleasant for anyone. there are worse conditions, but being outside and less temperatures below freezing, it's cold. It's cold. And so the Packers have been used to it the past 2 weeks. They're going to do it again against Minnesota. And I don't expect things to change. The Packers can still be dominant. And I go through this many times. Just because it's cold, it hardly changes what the Packers are going to do. The only thing that's going to affect them or any team in the NFL is if there's wet conditions or windy conditions. I mean, if it's just cold, but it's a clear day in Minnesota, Packers can still pass the ball all over the field, you know, just as long as, you know, the players are doing the right things and keeping their hands warm when they're not in the game and on the sidelines and with their pocket warmers and things like that. It's not as if, winter comes and, you know, there's this emphasis, I think, on, oh, you know, got to get the ground game going in the winter. That's such a 1960s point of view, I think. It's the passing game can still be highly, highly effective in cold weather, even, you know, getting down to 0 degrees, as long as it's clear, not windy, and it's not wet. You know, wet snows could definitely impact, the ball security and getting a grip and throwing it a long distance and things like that. So, the Packers could still very much, Cheestradamus on our live blog has a comment looking for 50 plus points. Yeah, I mean, the Packers are capable of that, even though they're playing outside in Minnesota. They really are. I mean, the way that things are going against the Bears and the Eagles the past 2 weeks, I expect the Packers offense to still be, highly effective. Yeah, if it's a windy day, maybe they'll have to rely more on Eddie Lacy, and certainly that's the reason they drafted him, for those days where you got to rely on the run game, that one game a year where it is windy or it is wet. Yeah, you might have to rely on Eddie Lacy, but hey, I mean, who here doesn't have confidence that Eddie Lacy can get the job done? I mean, he showed it, and as we just talked about with Nathan Jahnke, even when he isn't putting up 100 yards rushing, he's doing a good job receiving. He's doing a good job in pass protection. Eddie Lacy's pretty much a very well-rounded player and doing a good job for the Green Bay Packers. You know, one other thing I wanted to pass along here on the podcast was a comment from Jarrett Bush, who is the guest on the Locker Room Show, which is the weekly Packers talk show on the CBS affiliate in Green Bay, WFRV-TV, and seen on a network of CBS affiliates throughout the Midwest on Tuesday evenings. And Jarrett Bush was the guest. I have the audio here, courtesy of that radio station, and they're posting the video online. But Jarrett Bush, veteran Packers defensive back, was asked what he found most surprising about the team this year, a team that has won 6 out of their past 7 games. Interesting answer from Jarrett Bush. Take a listen.
I think this is how close we got. Just kind of just the bonding, some of the new players that came in, how responsive they came into to adapting to our philosophy of football, of Green Bay Packers football, and just kind of just hitting the ground running, and kind of just leading by example, and the guys just kind of just bought in, yeah. Bought into the scheme, bought into what we know, and just kind of go out there and play hard and do your job to the best that you can, and at the end of the day, to win football games, big football games, if that. So I can't say enough about those guys, and of course the offense and the defense, man, rolling special teams. I think we're just hitting all cylinders.
That's Jarrett Bush responding to a question, what he found most surprising about the team this year. And the point I wanted to make is I do think Jarrett Bush makes a good point as to what the key, one of the keys for the Packers has been this season, one of the keys to their success. But actually, I don't think it's surprising at all. I think it's the opposite of surprising. It's kind of what the Packers have been doing under Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy for years. And one of the reasons why they have 6 straight appearances in the playoffs, which leads the NFL, and they've had so much success, is they're constantly kind of have one of the youngest teams in the entire NFL. And they're constantly, it seems as if every year, they have to get new players to buy in, to gel, to adapt to what they're doing, and they do it so well. That's the culture that Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson have created with their draft and develop philosophy that seems to work so well. People can argue the Packers should have won more Super Bowls by now. But regardless, they're one of the top teams in the NFL, and I'm not so sure that more Super Bowls aren't coming in the very near future. But, every year the Packers, that they don't like to cut their rookies. They keep these guys. Every year they keep a few undrafted rookies, and they part ways with veterans. And what's interesting this year, perhaps, the one thing that is new, for a team that isn't known for going out and getting, being heavily involved in free agency, this year kind of bucked the trend a little bit. And they have two players playing big-time roles. Talked about both these guys with Nathan Jahnke, Julius Peppers and LaTroy Guyon on the defensive side of the football. You know, between the rookies, between the free agents, the Packers have had to get a lot of guys buy into the new system and gel and adapt and learn the offense, learn the defense, all those kind of things. And the Packers do that year after year. And I do think that's, a key to what the Packers have done and a reason why perhaps they were off to a slow start this year. You know, they got off to the 1-2 start from the one point where Aaron Rodgers said, relax onward. They've been a different team. They've won 6 out of 7 since that time. Have been one of the most dominant teams in the NFL. As we've seen, they're one of only 5 teams in NFL history to put up at least 53 points in back-to-back games. And the first time in Packers history that they've scored at least 50 points in back-to-back games. They're just such on a roll right now. And this is why it took a little while. This is why they lost the season opener at Seattle. This is the reason why it took a big second-half comeback to beat the Jets in Week 2. This is why they lost to the Detroit Lions in Week 3. Because it took that amount of time for the rookies to catch up, to catch on, for Julius Peppers and LaTroy Guyon to gel with the rest of the defense. And on the flip side of the coin, how to use all these players in Dom Capers' defensive system. It's taken him time to figure out how to use Julius Peppers and guys like Clay Matthews in tandem. How can they be most effective? So that's why you're seeing, this team take a while to get good. But now that they're there, they're on a roll and going to be very, very hard to stop. So I thought those comments were interesting from Jared Bush and his appearance just yesterday on the locker room on WFRV-TV in Green Bay. Another thing I wanted to discuss on today's show, and perhaps a little bit of shameless self-promotion here, but I do think it's interesting. Column I wrote here at Cheesehead TV on our blog titled, Don't Worry, Jared Bush... Jared Bush on the brain here. Don't worry, Randall Cobb isn't going anywhere. Interesting, on social media the past few weeks, just got a few comments about Randall Cobb's upcoming free agency. His contract, of course, expires after the 2014 season. I think people see the expiration date on the contract and get a little bit worried. And they, don't want him to reach free agency. Don't want some team to give him a zillion dollars and end up leaving Green Bay when he's so young and ascending and could be a very big core part of this team for a long time to come. And I'm here to reassure anybody that thinks that Randall Cobb, that there's any possibility of him leaving, well, it's not going to happen. Just relax, take a deep breath, and be confident that the Packers are going to lock up Randall Cobb for a long time to come. I don't know when this contract extension is going to happen. It could happen before the end of the season. It could happen in February, shortly before the start of free agency, when so many contracts seem to be extended in the NFL. As Andrew Brandt says, deadlines spur action. But you know what? Randall Cobb isn't going anywhere. And what I did was I crowdsourced the answer to this question. Who's the last elite player the Packers allowed to test free agency their first opportunity at it? So at the expiration of their rookie contract, the first contract they sign, who have the Packers allowed to test and leave via free agency? And you know what? Nobody can hardly answer the question, or you got to go back so far to find the answer. It's ridiculous. And I guess it's, you know, how do you define elite? But I mean, the best answer to the question, and I'm not even sure he qualifies as elite either, is Vonnie Holiday. The last player the Packers allowed to leave after the expiration of their rookie contract, a guy who was, you know, basically a core player and a good one, a former first rounder. What the Packers do under Ted Thompson is they lock up their own players. They identify who the core players are going to be, and then they lock them up. And Vonnie Holiday was prior to the Ted Thompson era in Green Bay. If there's anybody, that the Packers think is going to be really good, they sign him to an extension and keep him in Green Bay for a long time. You know, they just did it with Jordy Nelson, albeit it was his third contract. But they've done it with Aaron Rodgers. They've done it with so many players, Clay Matthews, Morgan Burnett, offensive lineman Josh Sitton, and TJ Lang. All these guys you consider the core of the team, they don't allow him to even reach free agency. They lock him up for a long time and keep him in Green Bay and build around them. They just try to fit pieces around these guys. And they're going to do the same with Randall Cobb. It's interesting that Brian Bulaga is kind of in the same boat. He's a guy who's going to also be seeing the expiration of his rookie contract, as well as cornerback Devon House. And I don't know if the Packers can keep all three of those guys this upcoming offseason. I wouldn't rule it out at this point. But you know what? I think everybody's worried about Randall Cobb first and foremost, because they kind of see him as the best player of that trio. And you know what? Randall Cobb isn't going anywhere. I'm just here to reassure you about that. And I mean, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I'd put any amount of money on it. You know, somebody said, do you want to bet if Randall Cobb leaves in free agency or not? You name the price. I'll throw out hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars on that bet. Even if he were to suffer an injury, I would still put money on that bet. So anyway, that's the reason that Randall Cobb isn't going anywhere. But the next segment on the show,
the day ahead,
what's happening at 1265 Lombardi Avenue on a Wednesday is it's the Packers' first day of practice this week in preparation for the Minnesota Vikings after their typical Tuesday day off, their one day off of work the entire week. They get back to action on Wednesday, and we'll be waiting to see the Packers' release of the injury report for the first time this week, and what tight end Brandon Bostic, what his status is. Bostic, of course, didn't play in the Packers' last game against the Eagles. He didn't practice last week at all because of a hip injury suffered in the prior game, the Chicago Bears game, that has limited his ability. So kind of waiting to see if he'll get back into shape, back into playing shape and be available for this Vikings game. You know, he was a guy who seemed to be heading in the right direction prior to his injury. He was a guy who had scored a touchdown in the Bears game, his first of the season, and just seemed to be coming on when the Packers needed some production from their tight ends, and he seemed to be providing it. So it was kind of inopportune that he suffered this injury, but we'll see if he's able to get back now and is able to practice this week, first of all, and then play against the Vikings later. Same thing with linebacker Jayrone Elliott. Didn't practice last week, didn't play. He's got a hamstring injury, waiting for his status as well. So that's what we're kind of waiting on a Wednesday here in the world of the Green Bay Packers. But that'll do it for today's show of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Wednesday morning. We'll be back, as we are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, I'm Brian Kirvu. Stay tuned for all your Packers news needs on our blog, cheeseheadtv.com. I leave you today with a song, appropriately, with the Packers going on the road this Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. The song titled On the Road by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.